Why, good afternoon. It is 4 p.m. on a Thursday, which means it's time again for Everything Under the Sun. I'm your host today, Raleigh Burley, joined by Yesenia Burgos Benavides.
Hello.
How are you, Yesenia?
Good, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks so much for joining us.
Of course.
And today's topic is Aspen Dance Connection and dance in general. And we know that you also, Yesenia, are a dancer. So let's just put you on the spot real quick and tell us what you enjoy about dance.
About dancing, I enjoy that I can express my feelings with my body. And I can dance with groups or by myself. And I take quite literally the dance like nobody's watching. Mm-hmm. And it's a time where everything goes blank. Well, when I dance. Mm-hmm. And I just do what my body wants to do.
So you can kind of lose yourself or even find yourself in dance.
Yes, yes. Definitely.
Well, Fran Page, thanks for joining us and representing Aspen Dance Connection.
Thank you. What she just said reminded me of when I used to be a dancer. I used to say I could dance to anything or nothing.
Yes.
And Mountain Fair is coming up, and that's a wonderful place to be dancing.
Yes,
yeah, it is. All over the valley throughout the summer and the whole state, there's so many opportunities to go and dance to live music.
Live music.
Shout out to Bob Schultz and his calendar of free music that's on the KDNK website, kdnk.org. You can find out about those Basalt concerts, the ones in Redstone. Carbondale's got a Sunday concert coming up this weekend.
Snowmass.
Ooh. Yeah.
It's amazing.
Paonia, Vale, if you're willing to drive. Well, great. So for anyone who is unaware of Aspen Dance Connection, it's existed in the Valley for a long time now, and it has done a lot of education work. I was telling Yesenia earlier of going into the schools, going into the libraries, and really sharing world dance with young people.
Right, right. We've always gone into the schools and libraries, probably since 1983.
Wow.
Officially, we started in 1978, but we really kicked off. 83 was when a lot of the big organizations really had their beginnings.
Mm-hmm. And have you been with Aspen Dance Connection?
I was one of the founding members.
Wow.
There were eight of us.
Uh-huh.
And I like to, I enjoy watching Dance Initiative and Co-Motion, and their beginnings were very similar to what ours were.
Mm-hmm.
So, but at a certain point, they said, well, let's quit while we're ahead, while we don't owe any money. And I said, I don't think so. I'm going to keep going.
Mm-hmm.
So here I am.
And so it began a little bit more like a dance company.
It was a collective of dancers that wanted to present their own original work.
Mm-hmm.
And our mission has always been to present original work and world dance. And that's where the world dance. And so it's the ancient and the brand new.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't do Giselle or the Nutcracker or those, you know, tradition. They're wonderful, but that's not our niche. So,
mm-hmm. Well, and just to give folks a little bit of a map of today's show, we expect to hear from two choreographers who will be presenting next weekend, different events. One is free in the Basalt River Park, and it's commemorating some new sculptures. So we will speak first with Amy Anderson, and then later with Jan Johnson, who's choreographing a big annual presentation of dance that's happening at Takah next Friday. So anything you want to say
7
about...
7 p.m.
7 p.m. Yep, and I think that's the 19th, right?
It's the 19th. Outside In 2.0 is what mm-hmm. we're calling it, where they actually... perform outdoors in the lower field and then go inside. We show some films of outdoor dance, and then they have indoor performances where they're nationally famous choreographers that Jan has hired to choreograph on her company.
Wow.
So what I like to say is, you know, she's a hidden gem in Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's really... in Colorado Springs, who mm-hmm. needs art a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And she's choreographed 75 dances herself.
Mm-hmm.
So she's quite talented. And she loves to collaborate. And so three of the co-motion dancers are going to perform with them. And they're going to get to come and rehearse every morning from 9 till 12. And that's when we'll be creating improvisational structures. Mm-hmm. So you really listen to your own body and which way you go, your directives. Mm-hmm. And I just love connecting the community, our dancers, with her dancers. And she loves building community.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I see that her dance company is also going to be at the libraries, two of the libraries.
Yes, that's been a great partnership with the Garfield Libraries and Basalt, and they'll arrive Tuesday and go right to Newcastle and do a show at 2 o'clock in Newcastle, and then Wednesday they will do a show at 2 o'clock in Carbondale. Mm-hmm. And both of those, they'll show some of the dances that they're going to do in the show on the inside, you know, the more technical dances, but then they will show how they create dance through improvisation. Mm-hmm. So that's something that you should come to and participate in. And,
yeah, yes. We let her know.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's free. Those library events mm-hmm. are free always.
Okay.
And speaking of, we just had Mr. Tapp and two of our local dancers perform in four libraries last week.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we featured Mr. Tapp in the past. He's really fun performer to watch.
Yeah, the reason we brought him this summer is that Basalt mm-hmm. said they heard that it was really good. Could mm-hmm. we bring him here? And actually, at Basalt, they said that was the biggest audience they've had ever, mm-hmm. like 165
oh,
people.
Wow. That is a lot of people.
And then he said to Mr. Temple, we'll see you next year. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay, I guess. Yeah, well, when you find a good one. And Mr. Tapp was a master of ceremonies for shoes, which mm-hmm. is Amy Anderson, that we'll be talking to a little bit later. Mm-hmm. So they're all kind of connected. And since we're going to be talking to Amy first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so she'll be calling us any minute now, and then we'll be talking about the new installation of these sculptures and how shoes can tie into that. I remember this shoes show because it was during COVID, and it was like a safe show outdoors, but it was super cool because it was like this... what road is it? Is it Wheel Circle?
Right.
Got commandeered.
Saw Studios and mm-hmm. and where they put windows in cars and all that back.
Right.
Yeah. We didn't close it. We were lucky. It was like a Sunday afternoon.
And no cars came through.
Yeah. Well, we had one car come through once, but mm-hmm. and it's yeah. really interesting because Amy was trained as a ballet dancer and danced with Colorado Ballet and Zirk. David mm-hmm. Taylor, who's just recently here again. And yet her stuff has kind of a story and humor. And she liked this intimacy. She was planning on doing an outdoor event in Denver before we brought her here. Mm-hmm. And there she starts inside the theater and then moves out, mm-hmm. which I have plans for her always for more. But mm-hmm. but she liked the intimacy. She liked taking the audience with you from location to location.
Right, that's what I really enjoyed. We'd be outside Nova Auto Glass, and then everybody takes their chair back across the road, back to Saw.
Yeah.
And you just see like the setting changing along with the
right,
dance.
Right. Is mm-hmm. that us?
I believe so. The phone is ringing. Hello, is this Amy Anderson by chance?
Yes, it is.
Hey, Amy, you are on the radio live. Oh. Welcome.
Hello, Amy.
Oh. Hi, Fran. How are you?
I'm good.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate you letting me join.
Absolutely.
Oh, definitely.
We were just raving about shoes and that show back in 2021. How much fun that was.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Yes. I'm so excited to come up and do just a little snippet of it again and be part of the sculpture dedication. I think it's going to be really fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and to speak a little bit more, Gail Falwell is the artist behind these dancing sculptures. I'm looking at a mm-hmm. picture of them, and they look like yeah. a lot of fun, really dynamic. And so, yeah, tell me more about how you got linked up with this project and how it will relate to shoes.
Well, it's interesting because Fran had called me and just communicated that she wanted to do this dedication with the sculptures and have dance in it. And I, at the time, was already going to be working on another show. And so I was thinking that way. And I'm not really sure how we ended up with using part of shoes. But I got this idea to link up three of the sections of Shoot, so we do a mini version of it, and how it would involve the sculptures, because my understanding is Gail wanted us to use the sculptures in the dancing. And I just got this idea, and I ran it by Fran, and she said, that sounds great. And so I'm really excited about it. We started working this week on it, and it's already coming out really well. So the other part of it that was fun is I have all live music. So I have a live violin, guitar, and singing, that all links up so well as well.
Wow, that's really special to have live music in it as well. And I remember that was an element of the Shoes show back in 2021.
Right, and you heard the violinist from that show. He's going to be here, too. And Gregory Gonzalez, her husband, will be singing and playing the guitar.
Okay, yeah, I remember him.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah.
So it was fun. For me, I just think having live music enhances everything so much whenever you can do it. And it's not always possible, but I was really excited that for this particular project we could include that, because we could use recorded music if we had to. Mm-hmm. So that just adds an extra layer of fun.
And these sculptures are on 7-foot poles, and they turn around.
Oh.
So when Amy and the dancers come Saturday, that's what they'll be practicing with, is how they can interact and get those sculptures moving themselves.
Oh, very cool.
Yes, and so choreographed inside of the previous choreography from Shoes, I've got transitions from one piece to the next that will involve the sculptures. And when we come here and we work on that Saturday night, we'll just figure it out. It's kind of funny because it's something you can't rehearse until you're actually with the sculptures. Mm-hmm. So the dancers are great. They're like totally up for it and improvising and having to come up with things on the spot is part of what you have to do now as a dancer. You can't just be classically trained and be told what to do. Mm-hmm. You have to be able to improv and add more of yourself into things to really make better work, more interesting artistically. And the dancers I have are those kind of dancers. Mm-hmm. So having to go up and figure something out like that wouldn't throw them off. They'd be more excited about it. And so that's why I picked these particular dancers. One of them was already in Shoes before, and the other one's a new gentleman who's just wonderful, Charlie Clark.
Cool.
And well, tell me a little bit about Charlie Clark. Who did he dance with?
Charlie danced professionally, and I actually don't have his bio, but with quite a few, not as big, famous companies, but quite a few companies along the way in smaller venues, as I understand it, in the South and the Southeast. Mm-hmm. And then he came to Colorado. He had quit his professional career, and he worked a 9-to-5 job, and I don't even know exactly what that is because I didn't talk to him about it. And he got himself involved. He started taking class where I teach at Denver Dance Center, and everybody liked him, and people started asking him if he could be in a show, and he started dancing with Kim Robards. He danced with Medea Dupre, and now he's working with me and a few other people, and he's just a delight. He's a fantastic dancer. Mm-hmm. So I think his bio is on the website, so if people want to check him out.
Amy, so just to let you in on, we also have a student here, an intern with the Sopra Sun, Yesenia, and she's a dancer herself, and so as a young person in high school, I wonder if you could just tell us all a little bit more about your career, how you got into being where you're at now as a professional.
I started, I was one of these kids that at 3 years old, I saw Swan Lake on PBS, and I told my mom I was going to do that. My mom said, you know, yeah, that's adorable. Forgot all about it. I started just dancing around whenever I heard music, and he and my father would have dinner parties, and I'd put on Swan Lake and just dance around the living room while everybody's having cocktails, and they're all ignoring me, but I didn't care. I thought they were watching me. And so I always wanted to dance, and I got into gymnastics first because I had three older brothers, and my mom could just take us all to gymnastics, drop us off for 3 hours, and that was more convenient. So I did gymnastics, and the first year I was getting gold medal or blue ribbons at the time. And the second year, I was already not even placing because I got afraid to do the trick. And so I had a nice line, and I pointed my feet, and I looked nice, you know, because I wanted to dance, but I was scared to death. So my mom took me to a ballet, tap and jazz, in a church basement, and I only liked the ballet part. I hated tap dancing. And I'd already been doing, it was acrobatic. It wasn't jazz. And so I could do that. And then my teacher, and this is like horrible, but it was a circumstance. He died of the flu. He was like 68 or something at the time.
Oh, wow.
And my mom was like, well, what do we do? And he took me across the street to Cavillo Parker Studios. And Freedan Parker and Lillian Cavillo started Colorado Ballet. And oh, wow. So, of course, I did Nutcracker, and I fell in love with performing, and that was it for me. And then I was at Colorado Ballet until I was 18. I got in the company when I was 16. And as soon as I graduated from high school, I went to Pacific Northwest Ballet in Seattle. And I danced there for a year and kind of burned out and quit and had a bunch of, you know, those kind of like just dramatic problems of finally getting your dream and being miserable. And through that, I ended up in college, but it was a college that had a great dance program. Got involved with David Taylor Dance Theater, who now does Zicker. And I had most of my career with him as he built his company. And then I danced also for Kim Robards and a couple of other people and made a career out of being more of a freelancer. And it worked great for me. I had a fantastic career, and I loved every minute of it. And through that, David Taylor would allow me to choreograph, and that's how I got I had taken choreography in college, and then because I got to choreograph for David Taylor, it helped me learn that skill. And now I did a whole tango career after I quit dancing ballet, and I just recently stopped doing that about 4 years ago, and then I started doing shows, and that's how I came up with Shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And now that's what I'm doing. And I myself am not really dancing or performing, which is fine with me. It's more fun to be outside of it and creating.
Wow.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
The other thing I kind of wanted to tell people that Amy also is the one that the other dancers come to fix their physical problems.
Right.
And she's the go-to person in Denver, and she's mm-hmm. very famous in the dance world for taking care of people's bodies.
That's a great reputation.
Yeah, I got very injured when I was 27, and I had to rehab out of it. And I learned Pilates and started learning dance medicine, but I was able to go back to dancing.
Beautiful.
And then I retired from ballet when I was 37 and started tango when I was 40, but I've always had a dance medicine, physical therapy, Pilates kind of career going on, and now I'm the Pilates trainer for the Colorado Ballet, and I see a lot of professional dancers for different injuries and technique problems, which I love. Mm-hmm. So my horrible injury kind of turned into this great career, so even that wasn't a bad thing.
Thank you so much for joining us, Amy Anderson. We have Jan Johnson calling now any moment, and I just want to let folks know again they can see this presentation on July 21st, which is a Sunday at noon at the Basalt River Park.
Right, that's on Sunday.
Thanks,
great. Amy.
Thank you, Amy.
Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.
All right, so great.
She's a joy to work with.
Fun.
Yeah.
And I imagine over the past, gosh, was that 40 years?
Yeah.
You've met a lot of really incredible people in the dance community.
Well, you know, we did our showcases up at the Wheeler Opera House most of the time, you know, after like 84, 86 when they rebuilt the Opera House. Mm-hmm. So we'd have 8 to 10 different choreographers on a show, and we would have auditions. Mm-hmm. And after the local dancers, choreographers stopped wanting to perform so much, we opened it up statewide, and that's how I met these choreographers. And it looks like she's talking to us. We're ready to hear Jan.
Hello, is this Jan Johnson?
Hello?
Hello. Jan?
Yes, this is Jan.
Hi, Jan. You're live on the air, Katie and Kay. Thanks for calling.
I'm so happy to be here.
Hi, Jan.
Hello.
It's Fran.
Hi, Fran.
Fran, would you like to give us an introduction to Jan?
We've been kind of planning this for quite a while. I met Jan in, she was on our show in 2007, and we used Elements, I think, Elements, and we used the picture of her dance on the cover, you know, of our poster and everything. And she does the kind of work that I'm interested in, meaning the outdoor odd places where you have to create improv structures to fit into the environment to even be able to dance in it. Mm-hmm. And yet she's also got this other side where she has a great eye for high quality professional stage dance. Mm-hmm. And so we get to have both of these elements on this program.
Right. And so we're talking about the Outside In 2.0 event coming up at Taka on July 19th at 7 p.m. we mentioned earlier in today's show. And Jan, tell us how we pronounce the name of your dance company. Is it Ormayo?
Sure. Actually, it's pronounced Ormayo.
Ormayo.
And yes, it's an ancient Greek term that by definition has to do with movement with force.
Mm-hmm.
And like to move forward impetuously, I think is part of the definition. So it's not a dance term, but it's a great movement term for sure.
Yeah, well, tell us more about your dance company too.
Yeah, so we're in our 34th year here in Colorado Springs, and we have, you know, had a slow growth trajectory, and now we are a thriving, not only modern contemporary dance company, but also a school and community engagement programs that include Dance for Parkinson's classes. We do special classes for elders at the Hill Community Centers. And then we have a program that actually Give Me Dance in New York created that we have purchased the rights to do called Hands Are for Holding. Mm-hmm. And we use dance to start a conversation about healthy relationships with middle school and high school students.
Oh, that's beautiful. And we do have a high school student with us.
Hello.
Yesenia, do you have any questions based on that prompt?
I had a couple questions if you've performed in any schools down Valley here.
Yeah, have you been to the Roaring Fork Valley before?
I personally have been to the Roaring Fork Valley many times, but I've never been there with my dancer.
Oh,
so this
okay.
is a very special time.
Mm-hmm.
They will go into two libraries while they're here. Mm-hmm. So we will start the outreach with them.
Okay, great. And that, once again, is Tuesday the 16th at 2 p.m. in Newcastle, and Wednesday the 17th, 2 p.m. here in Carbondale. So you've been to the Roaring Fork Valley before. How does it feel? Do you know about Taka? Have you been there to scope it out and plan the show?
I have. Yes, a year ago I met with Fran at Taka, so I took a film of the entire property outside to help us plan for this site-specific work.
Mm-hmm.
And I really love doing outdoor work where we can learn about the area a little bit and design something that really meets the moment, but also the place. So we're actually starting with a poem that I found. I wanted something that would connect us to the earth and that beautiful outdoor place that you all live in. And so this poem talks about the connection of the earth to the moon. It talks about rivers and waterfalls, and it talks a lot about different kinds of herbs like mint and chamomile and lavender and rosemary. So that kind of brings all the senses in of smell and feeling and the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
Her poem also talks about how the earth has like all the strength, and you can like between just be present on the earth and notice our connection to the earth and all of the fruits that it brings, that we have everything we need to heal ourselves and to live a beautiful life.
Wow.
So we'll be part of our work. We'll have an altar of sorts, if you will, with basalt rocks and all these different herbs. And we'll be working from in the entire green grassy spaces all around Tukka there on that one side.
Well, that sounds so beautiful. And I do want to just alert us, we only have about 2 minutes left. So, Jan, I really want to give you the floor. If there's anything you really want to let our listeners know to entice them to come and check out this show.
Yes. So we're opening with this work outside. So that's an opportunity to really be in nature and experience dance outside. Our work will be very engaging. We'll be inviting people to take herb gifts from us. And then we will be inviting them in with our movement into the Tukka building.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a film we'll be showing in the lobby that is a dance film that we did with Flock. They're internationally recognized for their film work. And that also is a film of dancers from Ormayo, the outside. So I think it kind of helps bring us inside with a film. And then we'll invite everybody into the theater for three works that are three different choreographers, one that's from the San Francisco Bay Area, and one that's from the L.A. area, and then we'll close with Larry Kegman's work, and he's in New York City. So we're kind of bringing a lot of different voices in when we come into the theater. Yeah.
And probably the most important question now is, where do people get tickets?
At Tukka, you can go online.
Okay.
I think that's the easiest way.
So TACAW.org, I believe.
Correct.
Okay, great. Thanks so much for joining us, Jan, even though it was really quick. And we heard from Amy earlier and Fran for being the anchor through the whole interview. Thanks so much for joining us.
Great. Thanks for this opportunity.
And you can find out more about this in this week's calendar in the Sopra Sun.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.